Thank you, David, and we thank all of you for making the effort to be here tonight. It's been a very beautiful day, and if you were out in it, you were surely walking in the sunlight. I happen to be down at the mall area there with my grandchildren this afternoon riding the rides, and you should have seen me on the Tilt-A-Whirl. But anyway, it's amazing how you can regress back to your childhood the older you get. But anyway, it was a delightful evening. Always enjoy being with the grandchildren. It's a lot of fun. And you ought to try it sometime. We do thank you for coming tonight. You know, there are many, many lessons woven throughout the ministry of Christ, and some of them most unusual. We're beginning a new study here on Sunday morning in the adult class here in the auditorium on the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the great lessons that Jesus taught concerning life and living, and one of the great examples of our Lord's ministry to other people, is found in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you could give my lesson a title tonight, it would be Crumbs from the Lord's Table. Crumbs from the Lord's Table. In this story, Jesus tells us about a woman. A woman, an unusual woman, actually, and an unusual request that she made of Jesus. Now, if you brought your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to read along with me here in Matthew 15. If not, you can focus your eyes up here, and you can read along if you like. The Bible says, "And Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and actually besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it even unto thee. There are several things I want you to see in this story tonight that I think are really tremendously interesting. About the compassion of Jesus, and certainly one of the things that we read about the life of the Lord, it is compassion toward other people. It's a very unusual story. You'll remember in this story, this woman pleads with Jesus a number of things. And I want us to look, first of all, at the woman's petition before God. She pleads unto Jesus that he might minister unto her need. What was her petition all about? Well, she was concerned about the well-being of another person, and the well-being of that person was her own daughter. The reason she cried is that she was heartbroken over the condition of her child and was determined to do whatever she could to get her child the kind of help that she really needed. Now, those of you that have ever had sick children can relate to this woman. You would go to the nth degree. You would spend your last dollar to see that your child would survive. If they were hurting maybe from some malady or disease like cancer or heart disease or whatever it happens to be, you would reach out to anyone who might be able to give assistance to your child. Now, the reason she called out persistently here was because of her faith and her hope in her Lord. She needed something that society could not really provide for her. She was looking for something that her dead religion was powerless to give her. She needed a solution, if you will, that had not been there before. But she saw Jesus as her only hope. You know, someone said, if you have Jesus, you don't need anything else. The Lord invites us to call upon Him. I've seen people in my lifetime sometimes who are really afraid to even call upon Jesus. So she makes this petition before God. That's what I want you to see, the petition that she makes. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 1 through 3, the prophet said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come and buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently, the prophet said unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Now, this woman may have read that. We know that the Gentiles were not always privy to everything that the Jews knew. But perhaps maybe someone had shared this story with this woman. She was a foreigner. We know that she was not a Jew. But obviously, she understood something that is found in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 that many of us have a tendency to forget. Peter said that we can cast our cares on Him, that is upon God and upon Christ, for they care for us. This woman is making this petition because she is concerned about her child. Now I want you to see this second thing, and that is the woman's persistence. Have you ever heard the expression that the squeaky wheel gets the grease? You have heard that. This woman actually had to overcome a number of things, and I guess you could call it obstacles to her faith. She had to overcome her race, first of all. She was a Syrophoenician woman, and that just translates into the fact that she was from Tyre and Sidon, and actually she was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite by birth. And by her religion and by her upbringing, if you will. And she was from a particular region where they practiced all kinds of vile religious activity. And so it was really a little bit strange for this woman to come into the presence of Christ even to begin with. It's almost like the discussion that takes place in the book of John chapter 4 between that adulterous woman and Jesus there at Sychar. Obviously, she was really overwhelmed that Jesus would even talk to her, communicate with her at all. And here we find Jesus being silent when she asked a request of Him. But she had to overcome her race. She had to overcome, secondly, her religion. As I said, she came to Jesus and called out to Him and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Here is a Gentile mother who is crying out to a Jewish Messiah. She knew that Jesus was the only one who could do anything to bring relief to her daughter who is vexed with this demonic spirit. She was a Gentile, and He gave her the response that she deserved. And if you were to discuss this issue with many of the scribes and the Pharisees of that day, they probably would have done, and maybe a little bit more bluntly so, than did Jesus. For the Bible says here at this point, and it's very interesting, in verse 23, the Bible says that He answered her not a word. Now, how would you feel if you came into the presence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and you're making a request before Him, and then when you make that request, Jesus just stands there silently? He does not respond to what you ask at all. He doesn't say yea. He doesn't say nay. He just sits and He listens, but He doesn't do anything at all. So this woman had to overcome her race. She had to overcome her religion. She had to overcome her racism. We hear a lot today in today's world about racism. A lot of people are racist. We have whites that are racist against blacks. But we have blacks that are racist against whites. We have people that are racist against those from Mexico who come into this country. To those who are brown, I guess you could say. And the disciples are even upset about this woman coming to Jesus as well. They really wanted to send her away. the disciples react in such an unfashionable way that was consistent with the teaching of Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with this woman. Now, you remember all of the racism that existed between the Jew and the Gentile. We talk about racism today. Why, it wasn't even comparable to the racism that existed back during the days of Jesus between the Jew and the Gentile. It is more like the Muslim and the Christian today, if you could bring some kind of thought to that, a connection to it. And they were extremely racist. And this woman was as well. She didn't like Jews because Jews looked upon people that were Gentiles much like they would look on a ragged dog that would walk through the streets of Jerusalem. And as a matter of fact, they were more compassionate with animals and dogs than they were with Gentiles. And that's why Jesus even used this expression. He says, you know, and this woman makes a statement. She says, well, even dogs eat the crumbs that would fall from the table. She had to overcome her rejection also. As Jesus speaks to this woman, his words appear harsh to her ears, perhaps. His words must have shaken her. He said, it is not meet to take the word of God and give it unto dogs or to give it to someone else other than those who were Jews, that he had come to the lost of the house of Israel. But then she had to overcome her reality. That's why she was persistent. The reality of it all was that her daughter was possessed by a demonic spirit. Now, if you know anything at all about the history of demonic spirits and back during the days of Jesus, someone could have been overtaken by a demonic spirit against their will. And there were times when Jesus would even cast out demonic spirits. And there were times when the disciples would even go out and do the same thing. As a matter of fact, they were overwhelmed by it. They came back to Jesus one time and said, even evil spirits respond to what we're preaching and to what we're saying. But she had to overcome the reality of the fact that her daughter was possessed with an evil spirit. Now, it's hard for us to even fathom or imagine such. If our child were sick, physically sick, we could do something about that. But how do you deal with a child who is possessed by a demonic spirit? We know that doesn't happen today. It doesn't happen against our will. We can will ourselves to be possessed of the devil. And you've heard people say that before. Well, they're possessed by the devil. Well, they can be, but not against your will. You can resist the devil, as we said this morning, James 4, verse 7, and he will flee from you. But she was possessed, and she was a member of a doomed race. For in the eyes of the Jews, the Gentiles had no hope at all. That was one of the things that angered the Jewish people when Christ came and taught that the gospel was to be preached to all people, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their nationality, regardless of whether they are Jew or whether they are Gentile. But these religious men did not seem to care about her or her situation at all. They didn't want to have anything to do with her. And in John 6 and verse 37, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There may have been obstacles, but there were also, secondly, opportunities of faith. For Jesus never slammed the door of hope in her face at all. And he doesn't for us. He doesn't. For in Mark's account of this story, in the 7th chapter, in verse 27, Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. It was an opportunity of faith. For she took that to mean that perhaps seconds were available. The obstacles thrown up by the Lord Jesus were not to discourage and to defeat her, but rather they were to mature her faith. But there were also obligations of faith, and she understood that. She persisted because there was much at stake here. Her daughter needed to be healed. She needed help, and she was determined to get it. And a crumb might have been all that she needed. and all that she could get. But she knew that a crumb that would fall from the hand of Jesus would be more than enough. Now I want you to see the last point here, and that is the woman's prize. Jesus responded to this woman's faith. He did. He tested her faith with hard words, and her faith was as it exceeded that of the people. He came to save. Here was a Gentile dog, so to say, that had more faith than the Jewish scribes and the Pharisees of his day. More faith than the Sadducees. More faith than the priest. More faith than any of those who were called Jews. And Jesus now rewards her faith. He rewarded her by giving her exactly what she asked for. You know, sometimes in life I think we ask God for something and God doesn't immediately do it and we just kind of write it off and we never ask it again. This woman didn't quit. This was an important issue to her. And you know what? I really believe that when we have an important issue confronting us, we ought to bathe it in prayer before God every day. And that's exactly what this woman did. Her faith was so strong, she didn't ask for proof of his messiahship. She took Jesus at his word. When Jesus says unto her, "Be it unto thee as thou hast requested," she didn't say to Jesus, "Prove it to me now, and you know, let me know for sure that you've done this." But she took him at his word. She turned around and went home to her family. Now, I know some people say to me, and perhaps they say to other preachers as well, "Preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through. If you understood how big my problem is, I can tell you that it is too big to be fixed by prayer." Some people even tell me that, and I'm serious in saying that, but it's not. I would challenge any of you tonight to name me something that God cannot fix. Jairus places his daughter in the hands of Jesus, and Jesus raises her from the dead. God can do anything that he so desires. Lazarus, 4 days after he laid in the tomb, Mary and Martha leave it in the hands of Jesus, and Lazarus lives. There is a multitude that needs to be fed on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. No money, no food, a few loaves, a few fish are placed in the hands of Jesus, and suddenly everyone is filled, and there's food to be gathered up. The disciples are in a boat in a storm in the middle of a lake out on the Sea of Galilee. In the dead of night, they are afraid that they're going to die because the wind is blowing against that boat and the waves are tossing to and fro, and it looked as if certain death is imminent. But they place themselves in the care of the loving Lord Jesus Christ, and they arrive safely to the shore. So when people tell me, "Hey, there's nothing that can be done. There is nothing that can be done by prayer," I would remind you that God can do all things. He can. He healed a leper. He restored the sight of a man who was blind in John chapter 9. He opened the ears of those who were deafened, just as God opened the ears of little Keegan that we mentioned this morning, who was deaf. And through medical science and technology and the will of Almighty God, that child can hear. A crippled man could walk. And Jesus would say unto him, "Take up your bed and walk." A man who was possessed on another occasion with a demonic spirit was set free. When Jesus was hanging on a cross, dead, they take his body down and they lay it in a grave. For 3 days there is nothing that happens. Hope is gone, it appears to the disciples who were faithless. It appears that evil has won, but he lives. I'm telling you, God is the God of the impossible. He can do all things. He is. You know, a lot of people who think things are impossible today, I'm telling you, God can do all things. He can. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, with men, all things are not possible. But with God, all things are possible. It may be a little crumb that would fall from the Lord's table that would be sufficient to our need. You ever thought about it? Sometimes just little things, little blessings of God. We always thank God for His blessings, and that's a wonderful thing because we ought to do that. But sometimes the things that we chalk up to chance and we chalk up to good luck is the hand of God moving in our lives. It is true. I believe God can do greater things than we can ever imagine. I'm not going to limit God. Why is it that Dennis Ellison is cancer-free today? Is that chemotherapy? Or was it God? Now, I can tell you, the skeptic would say, well, it's chemotherapy. But is it possible that God could work through both? Is it possible that God didn't need chemotherapy to heal Dennis Ellison? You betcha. God can do all things. And I just leave it there at the hands of God. I don't know what your need is or where you are. But I know one thing, that God can meet your need, and it might just be a crumb that satisfies. That's all this woman was asking for. When Jesus said, it's not meet to take that which is to be given to the Jews away and give it to the dogs. But she said, but Lord, even the dogs would eat the crumbs that would fall from the table. You have to appreciate this woman's faith and her great courage to go into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God has met my need, and He has met my need over and over and over again. He continues to meet my need over and over again, every day. In so many ways, physical ways, financial ways. Honestly, God is a good and wonderful God. I hope that we won't ever forget that. You may take nothing at all from this lesson tonight other than this one thought, and I hope you'll take this, is that God is the provider. He does. The Lord provides. You remember when Abraham was carrying his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah to offer him? And Isaac asked the question, Lord, he said, we have the altar, and we have the wood to burn on the altar for the sacrifice. But he asked the question. He says, well, but where is the sacrificial lamb? And he looked at Isaac, the very one whom God had told to take up the mountain and for Abraham to offer. And Abraham said, son, God will provide. And I'm convinced that He still does. He provides us salvation, which is really beyond us almost when you really stop and think about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He could die for sinful man and how a loving God could even offer His Son for such folks as us. But He did. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, I hope you understand the length of the love of God and what length He went to rescue you and to save your soul. He died upon a cross. He gave His own life that you might live. That's a real irony of all this, isn't it? That He died that we might live. And if you believe that strongly tonight and you want to be a Christian and you want to commit yourself to following Him, then you have an opportunity to do that by coming out of a penitent heart and acknowledging Christ, confessing Him before men, which so few do today, and by being baptized or immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin, then you can become beneficent of the great blessing of God. And if you're a Christian and you know, perhaps maybe in your heart of hearts, there are some things down deep within you that are troubling you tonight, perhaps like one who this came this morning, it may be a weakness in your heart that you're dealing with, or perhaps shallow faith, and you need to have that faith increased and enhanced. God can do that, and He will. And we invite you to His throne tonight while we stand, David, and while we sing.